Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Very good morning to you all, and welcome to Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. On behalf of our congregation and parish, I would like to welcome all those who are worshiping with us this morning for the first time or after a long while. I was trying to look across and imagine how full the church was 2 weeks ago at that Easter service. That was a nice one. So welcome. After the service, we will have teas and coffees at our church hall that can be accessed to my left. Our call to worship this morning is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Our first hymn, 130, Ye Servants of God, Your Master Proclaim. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come before you today with hearts that are open to your transformative word. In your presence, we recognize the depth of your love for us, a love that persistently questions and compassionately restores. Lord, you asked Peter, "Do you love me more than this?" Today you extend this question to us, probing the priorities of our hearts. We confess that often our love and attention are consumed by the cares of this world, our possessions, our pleasures, and our pride. We admit that too frequently we have placed other loves before you, neglecting the call to love you with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Forgive us, merciful Father, for the times we have failed to feed your sheep and tend your lambs. Forgive us for the moments we have denied the depth of our commitment to you. In your mercy, help us to rise above our failures and frailties, empowering us to live lives that reflect your love and grace. As we seek your face, renew our spirits and draw us closer to you. Let your Holy Spirit work within us, molding us into the disciples you desire us to be. May we learn the true meaning of love as shown through your Son, Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for us all. Hear our prayers, O God, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Equip us to love you more dearly and follow you more nearly day by day. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Our next hymn, 185, "Come, Children, Join and Sing."
Thank you.
Good morning, children. Hello, everyone. How are you today? Are you enjoying the weather? It's getting better, isn't it? It's so good to see you. And this morning, I want to begin with a few questions as we think about an important subject. Now, let me just ask you, have you ever had a favorite toy or game that you didn't actually want to stop playing? Even for dinner or your homework. Remember, favorite toy or game that you did not just want to part with, even when you were asked to go for dinner or you needed to do your homework. Any favorite toys or games? Anyone? No? Oh, wow. Interesting. You don't have favorite toys? You don't. You just have many toys, spoiled for choice. What are some of the toys that you have? Do you have any toys?
Yeah.
What kind of toys?
Animals.
Dinosaurs. What? Dinosaurs?
Monsters.
Monsters. You don't like them?
I like them.
You like them?
Okay.
You don't have a favorite? Oh. Now, let me ask another question. Have you ever made a mistake and you felt really bad about it? But instead of mom or dad rebuking you, they just gave you a hug. Have you had an occasion where you made a mistake and you felt really bad about it? You knew that mom or dad would be really angry at you, but instead they just gave you a hug. Yeah? Code. Okay. Oh, you left your coat and you thought they would be angry, but they said it was okay. Oh, your parents are very nice, aren't they? Very nice people. So I want to talk to you about a story about a disciple of Jesus called Peter. He made a number of mistakes. And one of the things he did was he even said he did not know Jesus at the time. Jesus Christ needed him most. So he denied that he knew him and that they were friends. That was a very sad thing to do. I'm sure you all have friends. And imagine that your friends really need you at a particular time and I don't know you. How will you feel? You will feel sad. So Jesus was sad, but he did not abandon Peter. When he came back to resurrection, he went to visit his disciples, and he asked Peter whether he loved him, and he told him to care for other people. So he embraced Peter, even though Peter had denied him, and he gave Peter an assignment. And that assignment was for Peter to care for other people. And what we learn from that text is that Jesus Christ loves all of us even when we make mistakes. Just as our parents love us even when we make mistakes. But the thing is, when we make a mistake, we have to acknowledge that it is a mistake. And our parents will still give us a hug, they will forgive us, but then they will ask us to do something. And that thing is for us to love other people. So in life, we will always make mistakes. But when we make mistakes, we should own up. And let us continue to love one another as Jesus loves us, even though we make mistakes. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this morning and for your word to us and to our children. As they grow in their faith, we pray that you would open their minds to your word and continue to instruct them. Bless our children's ministry in this church and in other churches, that our children will continue to be faithful to your word and be willing to learn from you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our next hymn, Christ Triumphant Ever Reigning, it's 436.
first reading is taken from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, reading verses 1 to 4. It can be found on page 782 in the Pew Bibles. "What are the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture?" declares the Lord. "Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done," declares the Lord. "I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in numbers. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing," declares the Lord. Our second reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 15 to 19, found on 1090 in the Pew Bible. "When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord,' he said, 'you know that I love you.' 'Feed my lambs,' said Jesus. Again, Jesus said, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' He answered, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Take care of my sheep.' The third time he said to him, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, 'Do you love me?' He said, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep,' said Jesus. 'Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go.' Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, 'Follow me.'" Thanks be to God for this reading from his holy word. Our next hymn is 553, "Just As I Am, Without One Plea."
Thank you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, whose love for us surpasses all understanding, we long to reflect from your word and seek the light of your wisdom. And as we reflect upon the scripture from John 21, we ask you to open our hearts and our minds, illuminate our understanding and deepen our commitment to you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these? Brothers and sisters in Christ, after Jesus' resurrection, he appeared to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. Here, he specifically engaged Peter in a transformative conversation that not only restored Peter, but also set the stage for his future ministry. Jesus asked Peter three times if he loved him, paralleling Peter's earlier three denials, and then he commissioned Peter to feed my sheep, symbolizing a restoration of Peter despite his past failures. The story of failure and redemption resonates deeply with all of us. Think, for example, of Charles Chuck Colson. He was known as President Richard Nixon's hatchet man. His involvement in the Watergate scandal led to a 7-month prison sentence after a plea of guilty to obstruction of justice in 1974. During this crucible of public disgrace and personal re-evaluation, Colson experienced a profound conversion to Christianity, a change so dramatic that it redirected his entire life. Upon his release from prison, he founded Prison Fellowship, an outreach that has since become the world's largest religious outreach program for prisoners, ex-prisoners, and their families advocating for justice reform. Like Peter, Colson's story moved from denial to restoration. Peter denied Christ three times, and yet was restored to lead the early church. Colson moved from political disgrace to significant Christian ministry. Colson's transformative journey mirrors Peter's. Their stories converge on the redemptive power of truth and love. Like Peter, Colson was extended an opportunity to redefine his legacy, shifting from a story marked by failure to one illuminated by the restoration of faith and purpose. But this text is not just about restoration. It is also about love. Jesus' query to Peter reaches beyond the superficial layers of social and professional standing, probing the depths of spiritual allegiance. The question Jesus poses to Peter in John 21:15 is simple yet profound. Do you love me more than these? It is not just a query about priorities, it is an invitation to introspection. What are the these in your life? Is it your possessions, our ambitions, our relationships? Peter's these could have been the fish, symbolizing his livelihood, or his fellow disciples, indicating human relationships. This question from Jesus was an invitation for Peter to examine the hierarchy of his heart. I read a story not long ago about a young woman called Leah. Leah was a corporate lawyer known for her tenacity and skill. Her career was on a stellar trajectory, and she was on the cusp of becoming a partner at her firm. Yet she felt a tug on her heart, a call to serve the marginalized in her city, which would mean stepping away from her career, from the prestige and security it offered. One day, she volunteered at a local shelter and realized her legal expertise could significantly impact these people's lives. The choice before her was daunting: her career or her calling to serve. After much prayer and reflection, Leah chose to leave her firm and start a non-profit providing legal aid to those who couldn't afford it. Her decision altered the course of her life, leading her to true fulfillment and joy found in service to others, rooted in her love for Christ. My dear Christian friends, today we are faced with similar questions. What are our fish that we prioritize over Jesus Christ? Is it our jobs, our comfort, and our status? Are we like Peter, needing to reevaluate where our love and allegiance truly lie? As we contemplate our these, let us remember that our love for Jesus should be the central force of our lives. We affirm our devotion to him not just in words, but in choices that we reflect his lordship over our lives. It may mean stepping out in faith to serve, to give, to love, and to sacrifice. It may mean choosing the unseen over the seen, the eternal over the temporal. In this moment with Peter, Jesus is not just reinstating a fallen disciple. He is teaching us all what it means to follow him. The path of true discipleship often requires us to make difficult choices, prioritizing our love for Jesus above all else. As we move forward this week, let us reflect on our priorities and ask God for the courage to choose him above all our these. Let us live out our love for Jesus in tangible ways that impact the world around us, just as Peter was called to do. And let us each hear Jesus asking us, "Do you love me more than these?" And may our lives reflect our yes as we feed his sheep, tend his lambs, and follow him wherever he leads. Let us pray. We bow our heads in silent reflection. And we think about what competes with our love for Christ. Can we commit it to prayer, a prayer of release, asking God to help us prioritize him in all things? In the silence of this moment, dear Father, we can hear you, your Son Jesus Christ, asking us again, "Do you love me more than these?" The echo of his voice. We want to do so, but we find it hard. Father, forgive us for times when our love has been cold towards you. May we, O Father, be more determined to love you and to love those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. Next hymn, 153. Let us pray, let us dedicate the offering, and let us intercede for ourselves and for the world. Gracious and generous God, we come before you with our gifts and offerings. We are reminded of your profound question to Peter by the Sea of Tiberias, "Do you love me more than these?" Today, this question echoes in our hearts as we consider what we hold most dear. Lord, in offering these gifts, we affirm that our treasure lies not in worldly goods, but in your eternal kingdom. These offerings are not merely from our surplus, but are expressions of our love and commitment to you. We dedicate them to your service, asking that you use them to feed your sheep, to tend your lambs, and to spread your love throughout the world. Almighty and everlasting God, we come before you with humble hearts, aware of our need for your divine intervention in the complexities of our world. As we reflect on the words of Scripture, we are reminded of your love for us, the love you have for each one of us, and the call to prioritize that love above all else. We lift up all those who are struggling with health issues. We ask for your healing hands to touch them, restore their strength, and renew their spirits. May your presence be a comforting assurance in times of physical challenge. In a world shaken by economic instability, we pray for prosperity and financial security for all your people. Provide for their needs. Stimulate our economies and inspire our leaders to make wise decisions that will benefit everyone, especially the most vulnerable among us. We pray fervently for peace in places torn by conflict, including Ukraine, Cameroon, the Middle East, and the escalating tensions between Israel and Iran. Replace hatred with love, conflict with peace, and despair with hope. Empower all involved to make courageous choices towards peace and to find solutions that uphold the dignity and rights of all peoples. Comfort those who mourn, O Lord. Wrap your loving arms around those who have lost loved ones recently. May they find solace in your promise of eternal life, and may their loved ones rest in the peace of your presence. We pray for the unity of your church across the world. Help us to be one in spirit and purpose, breaking down the walls that separate us. Strengthen our resolve to work together, celebrating our differences and building each other up in love and good deeds. Lord, we seek your grace for the salvation of all people. May hearts be turned to you, lives be transformed by your love, and your kingdom be expanded as we, your followers, faithfully witness to your goodness and mercy in our lives. We especially remember our young people and the youth. Guide them, protect them, and draw them closer to your heart. Let their lives be a testament to your enduring love, and may they embrace a life of worship and thanksgiving in your kingdom. We also remember those celebrating birthdays and those facing challenging times. Bless them with joy. Provide their needs and remind them that they are deeply valued and loved by you. In all things, Lord, may we respond like Peter, affirming our love for you above all else and demonstrating this through our actions. Teach us to feed your sheep, tend your lambs, and follow you wherever you lead. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. If you are able, please stand, and together let us affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. We bring our service to its close, singing 251, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky.
Go in peace and serve the Lord.
The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.